Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Medical School Campus Public Infrastructure District. Today is August 3rd, 2026. It's 9:03 a.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for the call to order, if everyone on the call, if you could state your name for the recording, we'll start with the board. Greg, your chair, do you want to start for us?
Greg Stewart.
Shelley Sumbot.
Tyler King with Snow Jensen and Reese, District Council.
Lauren Warburton with CLA District Attorney.
Okay, Andrew, it's your turn.
Andrew Faust, Mackay Shields.
Great. That's everyone I show on the call. Christy, do we have any members, other members of the public?
No.
Okay. All right, board, first up, board meeting minutes from our last meeting on April 28th. Have you had a chance to review those? Do they look accurate?
I did review those and they look accurate to me.
Okay. Could I get a motion, Greg?
I motion that we approve those minutes from April 28th, 2026.
Thanks, Greg.
I second.
Thanks, Shelley. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. Okay, Lauren.
Thanks, Michael. All right. Can we see the payment listing I have up?
Yes.
Great. So, board, covering the payment listing first, this covers the period from April 1st through June 30th. So, total expenditures were $52,185.09. This is mostly for capital outlay costs, it looks like, but then also some accounting and some wire fees that went through, and then a legal payment as well. Any questions I can answer on the payment listing today?
Okay, what I need then is a motion to approve the payment listing.
I motion that we approve the payment listing.
I second.
Thanks, Shelley. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, next up, Lauren.
Okay, so moving on to the financial statements. This is for up to Q2, so as of June 30th, 2026. Starting with the balance sheet, looks like total assets are sitting at just under 1.3 million, with 139,800 sitting in the general fund, 1.1 million in the debt service fund, and then 70,000 in the capital projects fund. Then there is $25,000 of accounts payable as of June 30th, as well as a due to other funds of 130, just under 139,000, which represents funds due to the general fund for the administrative carve out. I believe this has been sitting here since 2023 for those carve out funds. Excuse me. So then starting with the general fund, total expenditures so far are 17.5 thousand for those administrative costs that have gone through. And then after transfers to other funds, this 26 thousand represents a transfer to the capital projects fund for those capital outlay costs from this year. And then this $53,000 transfers from other funds represents a transfer from the debt service fund for the current year's administrative carve out. So after those transfers, that leaves our ending fund balance at 119,036. Then moving to the debt service fund, so far total income, or excuse me, total revenues 113,848, which includes just under 100,000 of property taxes and then about 14,500 of interest income. Total expenditures just over 1.2 million, which includes the bond principal payment that was made, as well as the scheduled bond interest payment. So then after our transfers to other funds, to the general fund for administrative carve out, our ending fund balance is just over 1 million. And then lastly, the capital projects fund, total revenues made up of interest income of just over $1,000. Then after expenditures for capital outlay of $26,000, our ending fund balance is 70,356. So I think before I open it up for questions, here's a couple other items of note that Shelby wanted me to bring up today are it looks like the administrative carve-out funds were used for additional capital costs, which has resulted in no funds remaining for the rest of the year's administrative costs. And then it looks like the bond payment, the next bond payment is coming up on August 1st, which will essentially take up the rest of the funds remaining in UMB. Moving back up to the balance sheet here. So we've got 1.3 million in total assets here sitting in UMB. I believe the next upcoming payment is just over $1 million for that upcoming interest payment. So I guess one last item of note is the 2026 property taxes look like they're budgeted at 796,000 based on a collection rate of 74%. And then the 2027 debt service requirements coming up next year are just over 2.3 million. So just wanted to communicate that to you all. Shelby's thinking there might be a significant shortfall of funds to make the bond payments next year. And Greg and Shelly, I think she might have communicated that to you already, but just wanted to make sure it's something that everybody's aware of. So I'll pause there now and see if there's any questions with anything I've just said or the financial statement.
Greg,
Thank you.
Shelley, any questions?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Hi, this
Then,
is Andy with Mackay Shields. May I ask a question?
sure.
Yeah, typically not, but go ahead, Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what the
No,
rules
you're
are.
good.
I can wait.
No, I mean, what your questions are relates to the financial statement. So, with you being one of the bondholders, I'm comfortable with the question. So, yeah, go ahead.
Could you elaborate on the collection rate? You said that you're estimating about a 70% c collection rate. Is that are there certain taxpayers that aren't paying their required property tax, or is that I'm just curious on the figure that you cited.
Yes, I think that is true. I do have one other note here. It looks like there's about $414,000 of delinquent taxes still owed for 2024 and 2025. But that's about all of the information I have regarding that. It looks like we don't really have any other information on when those taxes might be paid.
Can I give you an update on that?
Yep, go ahead, Greg.
And Andrew, I think this is I don't have a up to the moment update on this, but what's happening, and this may go to your additional questions you may want to ask, but the school is as they ramp up to build a parking structure, they are leasing the four of the pads that surround the medical school from the owner. And during the course of that lease, I believe the owner is going to, or the school is going to bring those property taxes current. And so a majority of those, because I know that they're paying an upfront fee to the owner of approximately $1 million, and a majority of that is going to bring those taxes current on the pads that surround the medical school. So yes, she's correct that that they're estimating a 76% collection rate, but I don't believe that'll be the case in the future, because the school's required to keep those property taxes current.
Great. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, in Utah, just so you know, how the state tax commission deals with what you're allowed budgeted to collect or what they estimate, that's probably the better way to say it, in any given year, is they have a running 5-year average of what the collection rate has been. So over the years, the collection rate is, the average is 74.48. So one of the things in Utah that's interesting is nothing goes to tax sale until the end of 5 years. And so there are some developers who will wait that long to pay. And so that becomes one of the issues for us and for Greg and Shelley with the district, is they really don't have the ability to go back to those developers and say, hey, what are you doing? And we got to do that. So I'm glad Greg had that information for us that we could receive revenue if there's any that goes back the full 5 years. They would have to bring all that current in order not to go to a tax sale. So hopefully that answers some of your questions. I know in the short term, we might have an issue with making some of those payments. I haven't read the indenture recently to look at, options and those kinds of things. So I know Shelby, who works at CLA, who works with Lauren, we've communicated back and forth a little bit. So we're trying to come up with some creative ways, and then we're going to get with Greg on some ways possibly that we could move forward.
Okay, thank you. I didn't realize that. Thank you so much for clarifying that. I learned something new every day. Just one follow up. So the 700,000, is that what you're actually intending to collect, or is the 76% of the 700,000? I'm just curious. Is that a grossed up number, or is that the net number after some of the collection percentages?
So it's 796, so I'll round and say 800,000. So that is based off that 74% number. So it potentially could be higher if everyone were to bring up the taxes current. So that number does not include the past amounts that would still be owed. That's just what everybody thinks based on 74% will come in 26.
Okay, so
So
it's the levy is really closer to a million. Okay.
yes.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
And Michael, you're also saying that $400,000 that's delinquent, that should be added to the $1 million as a potential to be collected in 26. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes, sir.
So let me, Andrew, let me also give you an update on that, on the $400,000 delinquent. I've already talked about the fact that the campus is going to be current. There was another, when we subdivided the property, they changed the tax serial numbers to the new subdivision number, and there was $121,000 owed, $127,000 owed on that property to the north, the TG development property. And that kind of got lost in the shuffle for 5 years. And they actually had a notice for tax sale for that property back in March and April. We corrected that, paid the $127,000, because we weren't getting the tax notices, because the tax serial numbers didn't exist anymore. And so we corrected that. So I think that number is actually, instead of $400,000, it's probably $525,000, and $127,000 of that has already been paid. So that is current now, and hopefully, with this deal between the owners and the school for parking, the balance of that $400,000 delinquency will be paid in this fiscal year as well.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Andrew, any other questions?
Maybe not for the district. I don't know if this is the right place, but since we do have Mr. Stewart, are there any updates on future development of the site, whether it's the apartment buildings, which I think are still owned by TG Development, or any other updates about the development of the campus?
Yes. Let me give you that update right now. Is that okay, Michael? If I just
Yes.
update him about
Yep,
that
that
right now?
applies to the financials, you bet.
Andrew, we actually, for the multifamily, which is 700 units and approximately, when it's complete, 200 million in value. I don't know what the assessed value would be or what the ta property tax on that would be. I'm assuming it would be a pretty substantial number. We had a permit to begin construction on that, and all we had to do was pay for the permit. That was in June of 2022. Frankly, at that time, lenders started to get concerned, and so we did not move ahead with that project at that time. And I'm kind of glad we didn't, because we underwrote that at about an interest rate of 3.5%, and in 12 months later, the rates were in the 9 and 10 range. And so now the dust is settled. We actually are under contract with a partner. Since we've been under contract with a partner since the middle of March, he's asked for a couple of extensions, and he currently has an extension that expires on the 22nd of August. We have three backup offers, so I feel pretty comfortable that by the fourth quarter, we are going to be underway on the first phase of the housing, which is 321 units. The reason I feel comfortable about that is because they don't have to go through the planning or approval process. That's all done. They've revisited with the city, and I think they could have a building permit within 30 to 60 days, because they're using the same plans that we were using in 2022. So I'm comfortable that if they don't do it, I have three other parties that have, a couple of them indicated that they would joint venture the project with us. And the other party is one of the largest developers here in multifamily developers here in Utah. And they would just buy the land from us and proceed with construction of the 700 units. So that's an update on that portion of the project. As I said, the value of that is, when it's complete, it'll be about $200 million. That takes us to the campus, which is currently being improved and leased by the school. For parking, they now have, instead of 2022 when they had 90 students, they now have 800 students, and they have a parking problem. And part of the solution to that parking problem is temporarily surface parking on all those lots. But as we near the completion of phase one of the multifamily, there's a current proposal that the second phase of the multifamily build a joint parking structure with the school, on the lot that's just south of phase two of the multifamily. And I know you don't have a map in front of you, so you can't, but that parking structure would be a great benefit not only to the school, because it solves their parking problem, but to the multifamily, because it allows them to build more units and have parking really next door, but not on the site. And that when that parking structure is complete, and I'm hoping to start that second quarter of next year after the snow clears, that frees up the rest of the campus for the tenants that we've had in our pocket for the last 3 or 4 years. We just haven't been able to get them off the ground because of the uncertainty of interest rates and different economic conditions. So I suspect that we are still going to move ahead with the entire campus in the near term. I think we will be out of the ground for the first phase of the multifamily by the end of the year. So that's my update.
Well, that's great. And you mentioned 700 units. Has that increased from the 505?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So phase one is 321 units. The land on phase two is approximately the same size. And so, but with the shared parking structure, instead of getting 321 units, we think we can get about 370. And that's where you get 700 units.
Okay, so the density might be a little bit smaller.
For phase two might be larger.
Okay.
Phase one's 321, and I suspect phase two will be about 370.
And but the square footage has been originally the plan was 240, 245,000, but I guess have you gone back and gotten, more units from the.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And you're saying, are you saying that phase one was originally 240,000 feet?
Phase one was 240 units,
Okay.
245,000 square feet.
Okay. So, yeah, that's increased to 321 units and basically 1,000 feet per unit.
Okay.
So
Right.
it's right about 325,000 square feet now, phase one is. And
Well, that
I expect phase two will be approximately 370,000 square feet.
okay. And then is the parking garage with Nordicom, is that contingent on phase one of the multifamily, or is
No,
that
the
separate?
completely separate issue. Their parking issue is a completely separate issue from anything to do with the multifamily. It's convenient economically and economically a benefit to both the school and to the multifamily to jointly build a parking structure.
Got it. So regardless, there's probably going to be the school needs the parking garage, and so they're going to work with
Absolutely.
to get it. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, again, Mr. Stewart, and the rest of the district, I really appreciate the opportunity as an investor for this update.
Yep. Thanks, Andrew, for joining. Appreciate that. All right. So, getting back to the financial statements, Greg and Shelley, what I need then would be a motion to accept the financials as presented.
I make a motion to accept the financials as presented.
I
Thanks, Greg.
second.
Thanks, Shelley. All those in favor say aye.
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 That's unanimous. All right, that's everything I show on the agenda. Do you guys have anything for us?
I don't. Andrew, can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
Is there a, maybe it would be beneficial. It sounds like it would be beneficial. Are you still there, Andrew?
Yeah, hold on. Sorry.
Okay.
He just turned his
There you are.
camera off.
Would it be beneficial to you if I were to, because the update that I just gave you is probably just kind of come to a head here just in the last 90 days. Would it be beneficial to you if I were to give you a written update on where we are?
Yeah,
And I
as long
also,
as you, yeah, go
I
ahead.
would also add in that we ha and you may know that we've had a responsibility to mitigate some wetlands there. That's an ongoing process that we're still working on. And I should update you on that as well. We're basically having to renew our permit with the Army Corps. And so that we've got some administrative costs associated with that, but more of a timing issue. We're in the process of doing that right now. And I'll update you on that as well.
That'd be great. Yeah, as long as there's a website called Emma. You can work with
D.A.
Davidson.
Davidson.
Yeah,
Okay,
they can
I'll
help.
do that. And
So,
he's been in touch with me, so I'll just call him and give him the most recent update.
Greg, let's do this. I'm just looking at it, the quarterly report. I need to get that to you. So
Okay.
let's just drop that in as a narrative.
Okay.
Andrew, are you okay with that?
Yeah. Yes.
If we put in the development update, maybe a narrative of what Greg has talked about, that way you've got it as part of the report moving forward.
That I'm assuming that report goes and
It
Andrew and
does.
the
It's what
bondholders
goes
will see
on
that.
Emma.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
So
That's
Andrew, are you
easier.
comfortable with that? And then you can see it in the report. Okay, perfect. So I'll shoot that to you, Greg, as soon as we're done. I'll
Okay.
shoot that over and you can update it for me.
Okay. Terrific.
Okay, perfect. Okay, anything else?
I move to adjourn the meeting.
Okay, thanks, Greg.
I second.
Thanks, Shelley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.